We're teaching from a distance. You're teaching from a distance. I am not, because if you listen to a couple episodes ago, you'll know that I resigned from teaching. But I am dedicating my time and energy to supporting my family, of course. My daughter just started school, distance learning. She's a first grader. But I'm also dedicating my time to supporting teachers in whatever ways they need. And if I were in your position, if I were going back from a distance with students, I thought of 15 possible things that I might do with my students online. And some of them are synchronous, some of them are asynchronous. So that's what this episode is going to be all about. And I'm also possibly going to, I'm recording a video too, to go on YouTube. So we'll see how that turns out. This episode might be featured on YouTube, because I know there are tons of teachers on YouTube looking for ideas and videos to show their students. And this video is for teachers. Welcome to the Workshop Teacher Podcast, a podcast for teachers who are interested in trying workshop in their classrooms and teachers who are obsessed with it, like me. Before I get started, I really want to tell you a little story. So my daughter started first grade 2 days ago. This is her second day of first grade. And every day they have a Google Meet meeting at 8 a.m. for 30 minutes. And it is precious. It is so sweet to see how excited she is to see her classmates. And these are kids that she was able to spend time with in kindergarten. So she knows a lot of them. And her teacher is wonderful. And I can't even tell you the feelings of just gratefulness, I guess, towards teachers and what they're going through. I mean, she's teaching lessons 30 minutes every day synchronously to first graders, but not only that, she has 24 parents sitting there watching her, and that is it's not very fun, in my opinion. I taught eighth grade or elementary for 8 years, and if I was having to do that, I don't think I would be very happy. But she's taking everything in stride. She's asking for parent support and input, and she's wonderful. But that first day, the first Google Meet meeting, was interesting. Definitely some tech difficulties. My daughter's using a Chromebook, and the Chromebook is kind of slow and it's glitchy, and you know, there's issues. And so I ended up giving her my Mac so that we wouldn't have those glitchy issues. And that's sad, because not every family has an extra Mac that their six-year-old can use. But anyways, so Aria, my daughter, was really looking forward to this meeting, this first day of school. And the reason wasn't to meet her new teacher. It was because her buddy is in her first grade class, her best buddy, who she hasn't seen, and he's a boy. She gets along so well with him. And I remember her coming home every day when she was in kindergarten, telling me stories about what they did and how they played, and she just loves him. And so he's in her first grade class. And all she wanted to do during the meeting was click on his picture to see what he was doing during the meeting. And, you know, and I understood it was the first day of school. She just wanted to see him because she hasn't seen him since March. And I definitely need to contact his family, because she just would love to spend time with him, but just with COVID, it's all just really stressful trying to come up with ways to get your kid interacting with other kids. It's stressful because, in my opinion, you know, we do need to stay home as much as possible. And then if we do socialize, we need to use masks and be outside with peers. So yeah, she wanted to watch him the whole time and she didn't want to listen to her teacher. And her teacher was trying to, you know, do her best to make things fun. They did a little go noodle, which Aria was not having that. She was just like, no, I have to be serious. Look, my, you know, my buddy, I'm not going to say his name because, you know, privacy things, but he's not dancing. I'm not going to dance either. And the reason I'm telling you this story is because I think a lot of times when we start the school year, the focus is on the teacher and the teacher planning all of these great lessons and, you know, stating their expectations, and which is all, you know, that's important. But I think when we are trying to build community in our classrooms from a distance, we have to realize that these kids have been deprived of socialization and they need time to talk to their classmates. And I know middle schoolers and high schoolers, they're probably, you know, on FaceTime all the time together, you know, and playing video games together and things like that. So I know that, you know, it's a different story with middle and high school students. But at the same time, I think that there is that yearning for conversation and for the excitement of the beginning of the school year, and for kids want to talk to each other. And so anyone who's listening to this, I just hope that you remember to do those breakout rooms, those Google Meet breakout rooms, or the Zoom breakout rooms. Let kids have some time to reconnect with each other. I really think it'll go a long way. And how simple is that to just, you know, every time you have a meeting, give the kids 5 minutes to talk about whatever they want. And my daughter was just dying to share her share toy, and because her teacher started talking about share toys, and there was another little boy in the meeting that was just kept unmuting himself to try and share his share toy, and it was heartbreaking and so sweet. These kids, this whole experience is definitely, I think, making the world kind of wake up to how important community and relationships are. So with that said, let's go ahead and talk about these 15 ways that you might use to develop community in your classroom. And this is also a blog post on my website, amandarightnow.com. If you go to amandarightnow.com and click podcast and scroll down, you'll be linked to the blog post that I'm going to be basically reviewing during this episode. Students in our class need to feel that their unique voices, opinions, and experiences matter. In this episode, you'll get inspiration and ideas for distance learning community building activities for middle school and high school students. I think some of these could work for elementary too. We can build community by giving students opportunities to share their personal lives, their interests, their passions, their fears, their hurts, their mistakes, their happy places, funny moments, and more. And my daughter actually had a one-on-one meeting with her teacher today, and and the goal of the meeting was to assess her reading skills. And the teacher only had 30 minutes, and somehow Aria found these little moments to share little things about her, and the teacher was excited to hear those. But you know, I feel like we have this mindset of we have to get all these things done, when really is. I don't know. I just feel like we need to get our priorities better managed, because I do think that relationships should be a top priority right now and always. So just giving students opportunities to share just things about themselves. I have a Google slideshow you might want to do the first week of school called Meet Your Classmates. And so every student can have their own slide. And then it just has different little things that they can add to that slide about themselves, which is really fun. You just make copies of the slide and then label it with the individual students' names so that they're able to edit their own slides. So you need to make this slideshow editable for all students in the class. So it would be a live document if you trust your students to do that. Or you could just give each student one slide and they could share it in a Google Classroom assignment. But I think it's better for kids to be able to share them with their peers. So if we want students to feel that they're worthy, that they're a vital part of our classroom community, then we also need to make time to have fun together, to write together, to share our writing with each other. Okay, so let's talk about the asynchronous activities first. So these are activities that you can have students post in Google Classroom or Canvas or Schoolology or, you know, whatever your learning management system is. So you could have students post pictures or videos from their summer. So tell them to post a memorable or not so memorable picture from their summer quote unquote vacation, because that's really not what this summer has been. And then, you know, you could also have them make an editable slideshow of all their pictures from the summer, or have them show a picture on Flipgrid, something like that. Have students comment or like each other's pictures. And so, yeah, that's one idea. The second idea I have for you is to have students make memes. I love this meme generator to create memes, and there's a link to this in the blog post. Tell students to comment on each other's memes. Kids love making memes. They just love it, especially middle schoolers. You could do two truths and one lie. And maybe you're thinking, wait, that's how could I do that asynchronously? So what you could do is you could have students, you know, in your learning management system, post the assignment and have them comment underneath the post two truths and one lie about themselves, and then have other students comment back which one they think is the lie. So that's kind of fun. The fourth activity is, I just called this activity, I just made this up, remember the time. So students have lots to say about the world and life pre-COVID-19. So you could tell students to post a comment about something they miss from life before COVID-19. Urge students to interact with each other by replying to comments too. I have a picture of me on this blog post in Girona, Spain. So somehow, I don't know how we got the timing so right. My husband and I went to Girona, Spain, then Barcelona, Spain, November of 2019. So right before this whole pandemic started. And it was such a beautiful experience, and I can't wait to go back. So that's something I would share with my students if I had a class this year. Okay, number five, have students post schoolwork or pictures from elementary school. We all have embarrassing schoolwork and pictures from the past, and it's fun to laugh about those moments now. Tell students to post their own strange or embarrassing schoolwork or pictures from when they were younger. Kids have the funniest pictures from when they were little. And I actually have a picture from my memory book of me when I was in third grade. And it says, my favorite activity was watching TV and that I wanted to be an artist when I grow up, which is pretty cute. Another activity, the sixth one that I have for you, is have students write a one paragraph story. So you could have them tell a story from their life in one paragraph, explain that they need to also comment back to students one paragraph story, so they could comment back with, I can relate with the story. And then I have a story from my life that's just one paragraph. And yeah, I'm going to share it right now. Maybe you all will think it's pretty entertaining. So here's my one paragraph story. My dad loved taking my little sister and I golfing with him. We loved driving the cart. At the ripe old age of 7 is when he would let us do this. One early morning, my dad drove the cart at full speed up a pristine green hill. The breeze blew my hair behind me and I felt I was flying. I turned to look back in the back seat of the cart to see if my little 5-year-old sister was enjoying this moment too. But to my horror, she was not there. She was rolling at a fast pace down a grassy hill. I screamed, "Dad, stop! Shelly fell out of the cart." My dad immediately stopped, got out of the cart, and ran toward Shelly. I followed. She jumped up quickly and yelled, "That was fun." Shelly the thrill seeker. That's my little sister. She had jumped on purpose. So that's a really funny story from when I was young. The seventh asynchronous activity that I have for you is a 6-word memoir. So there's a great site that has lots of examples of 6-word memoirs, and you could have students write their own 6-word memoir and post it in your learning management system. Here's my 6-word memoir. Work hard, but don't forget rest. I can't rest. It's hard. So it's a good 6-word memoir to remind me to rest. Okay, so what about synchronous activities? What about when you're live with your students and they're there with you? So one idea is for you to play Pictionary. You could use the whiteboard feature in Zoom for this. You could also use Jamboard to do this as well. So there's a video tutorial about how to use Google Meet whiteboard tools and Jamboard, which is pretty cool, like all of those together. So what you would do to play Pictionary is you would have one student use a random word generator, and there's actually a link to this in the blog post. So it just gives them a random word, and then the student has to share their own screen and use the whiteboard feature to draw clues. And then you have students comment in the chat their guesses. So they're not just shouting it out, because that is chaotic. And that's something that's definitely been happening during my daughter's first grade meetings, which it's so sweet that the teacher's like, "Shout it out." And then it's just crazy feedback and like all of the mess of technology. Another activity you could do is a scavenger hunt. So you could have students find the following objects: an animal, alive or not alive, so they could share their pets. Some students don't have pets, so they could share a stuffed animal. Some students might not want to participate because they're too cool, and that's fine too. My daughter has not been participating in the Go Noodle because she says she has to be serious. So I've been dancing around with her first grade class. So then they could find their favorite book or their favorite game. This could be very telling about which kids love reading. So you could tell them you can either find your favorite book or your favorite video game, and then kind of see which kids picked a book versus which kids picked a video game. You might have them find something that's the color green, a favorite childhood toy, a favorite snack, a piece of schoolwork from long ago, and then whoever collects all the objects together at the end wins the game. So that's fun. Okay, the next one is probably my all-time favorite game. Like, this game makes your face hurt afterwards from laughing so hard. So I've called it improv presentations. So Kate McKinnon, there's this video on YouTube of Kate McKinnon, and there's actually some cussing in it, so you're going to want to only share the video up to the 4-minute mark, and you might share it during a synchronous meeting. So you're going to share this Kate McKinnon presentation. And basically what it is there's just random slides that pop up, and Kate McKinnon has never seen these slides before in her life. And she's just improvising a presentation, and it is hilarious what happens. So you'll have to go check it out. Go to this blog post, click Kate McKinnon presentation, and you'll be able to see it. Have students create their own random slideshows. So you're going to have to do this before the game, but I have a link to a random slideshow in this blog post that you can check out and use too if you wanted. And then you tell students to put in their random slideshow, they can put pictures, charts, numbers, all sorts of things, sayings, headings, quotes on individual slides. So just random slideshow. Then you have one brave student volunteer to do the improv presentation. So you share your screen with the random slideshow, and then you unmute the brave student and they present what they see on each slide. So like they're a professional. It is so funny. Describing it doesn't even like do this game justice. You're just going to have to try it and watch this Kate McKinnon video and you will laugh your head off, honestly. Okay, your students will love it and so will you. What about, okay, the 11th activity I had for you is the virtual background contest. So in the spring when we all went into shelter in place, I felt like kids used my Zoom meetings to show off their virtual backgrounds. It was hilarious, the things that kids had in the background. Actually, I had a couple of students, for some reason, they had pictures of their friends from elementary school that were in the same class, and they would put their picture of their friend from elementary as their background. So funny. So some students' devices may not allow the green screen feature without an actual green background. So you might want to give students a heads up for this game, you know, and not everyone has to participate. You know, it's fun to just be an observer and watch, just like in our own classrooms when we're in person. I don't make kids participate really, because it's kind of nerve-wracking to do some of these silly things. And so some students, I just let them kind of be observers. But there are games that I'm like, yeah, everyone, we're going to do this. If it's not asking too much, like the two truths and a lie, there's not much at stake with that one. But the improv presentations, the virtual background contest, these are a little bit, you know, you got to go out of your comfort zone and get those outgoing kids entertaining the kids that are a little bit introverted, and that's fine. The introverted kids will enjoy the comedy show. So you give them a heads up, and then during the virtual meeting, you tell students, you know, that if they're participating, they have to do kind of a skit in front of their virtual background. And then you can pick a winner at the end who had the best virtual background. And actually, I have a funny story. So it was somewhere in March, April, I was doing a Facebook Live and I had a virtual background. It was this beautiful, peaceful beach. And my daughter comes walking in with a green apple. And I actually have a picture of this on the blog post. And the green apple just, it blends in with the beach. And so it looks like my daughter is basically holding nothing. It's really funny. And she was like eating it. And then there were pieces of the apple that like just were blending in with the background. And so it looked like there was a hole in her in her mouth. It was so funny. Okay, number 12, truth or dare, the kid-friendly version. So the only way to make truth or dare rated G is by coming up with your own truths and dares and then like writing them on note cards, not having kids come up with them. So I also let students pass if they don't want to do this, just like I said before, you know, only letting kids do what they're comfortable with. Okay, so here are some of the truths I came up with, and you can read all of these on the blog post. So what is the scariest or craziest dream you ever had? What is your worst fear? Do you talk in your sleep? If so, what are some of the things you've said or been heard saying? What's an embarrassing nickname you have? And there's more you can come check out on the website. There's dares, do a cartwheel, do a dance for 30 seconds with no music, speak in an accent for the next 3 rounds, sell a piece of trash to someone in the meeting with your best sales tactics. So in the Zoom meeting. And there's more. So you should go check out this blog post. Number 13, questions. This game is so simple and super entertaining. So you have two student volunteers come to the front of the class, or if you're in a meeting, unmute themselves One student starts with a question, the other replies with another question. Whoever gets stumped or answers a question is out. So they're just going back and forth asking each other questions. There's also a rule, a more advanced rule, where you can't repeat the first word of the question. So for example, if someone says, "Who are you?" the other person can't start their question with who. They have to start with what or when or where, other types of words. So no repeating the same first word. So that makes it a little more advanced for maybe high schoolers. Number 15 is a game called What Are You Doing? So this game can be a little bit tricky, but it leads to loads of laughs. So you pick two student volunteers. One student starts by acting out an everyday activity such as jumping rope, brushing teeth, walking, shooting hoops, dancing, sleeping, playing video games, anything. Like, they're just pantomiming, right? Then the other student volunteer asks, "What are you doing?" So then the student who's acting says something completely unrelated to what they're actually doing. So if the student is pretending to play video games, they might say they're doing their homework, which, you know, pretending to play video games looks nothing like doing your homework. If a student is jumping rope, they might say they're sleeping. So they have to say something completely not what they're doing. Then the student who asked the question has to act the new activity out. So for example, if they're playing video games and they say they're doing homework, then the next student has to pretend to do their homework. And then it's reversed. The other student says, "What are you doing?" They're doing their homework, but then they say, you know, "I'm ice skating." And then the next student has to pretend to ice skate. So, and it continues until someone gets confused and actually says what they're actually doing. It's really fun. Okay, then the last fun activity that I have for you today is Who Am I? So have students fill out a Google form, and I have a link to an example of a Google form, and it's just a form that has questions about students, like what's your favorite show, what's your favorite color, what are your hobbies, things like that. So then at the beginning of each video call, you would read the answers out loud to the group, and students would have to guess who it is you're describing. So you wouldn't read the kid's name. So that's a pretty fun game, community building game for you as well. All right, what community games are you playing to start this crazy school year? Go visit amandarightnow.com, click podcast, scroll down to the episode that's called 15 Distance Learning Community Building Activities. Middle school students will love, and leave a comment with your community building activity or strategy, and this should be top priority. It really should over everything else. Kids are missing each other, so let's make time for them to reconnect. I hope you enjoyed this, and I will be back again soon. Bye, everyone.